It's good to see everybody out at home group meeting today in July. And before I get going, I have been getting a lot of emails from a lot of people. And I thank you very much for all of your emails. And if I have not answered you, fear not. I will get back to you. And I just thank everybody for all the wonderful comments and stuff from the different teachings that, you know, that is out there. And I will get back to you. Just please bear with me. I'm just kind of busy right now. So anyway, let's go ahead and get into the teaching, what the Lord has for us tonight. And tonight we're going to look at biblical elements for daily living. You know, I kind of like that, Sandra. Biblical elements. These are elements to help us in our daily Christian living. And today we're going to look at number six. But last month, actually it was 2 months ago, because last month Dustin Peters did a good job talking about faith, and he's a Liberty University student, and so as a matter of fact, I was talking to Dustin today, and he's out and about, for him and Ashley. Just remember them. He's out and about, and so just remember him in your prayers. But as we always do, we always look at what we did the month prior to get our heart and our spirit pointed in that direction. So there's a number of points that I'm going to go ahead and go over from actually 2 months ago, and I think I have two more outlines up here if you would like them. So it's a number of points, and that will get us moving in what the Lord would have for us today. Amen. So last 2 months ago also we looked at He Loved Us First. So what we would have today could maybe be a part two, but so 2 months ago here's some things that we looked at. It is not up to us to love Jesus. Amen. It is not up to have Jesus love us, but it is up to us to love Him. Let me say that again. It is not up to Jesus to love us, but it is up to us to love Him, because He first loved us. He first loved us, and so that's why we need to love Jesus. Amen. Now, the more we are sure and establish this truth in our heart, that Jesus really does love us, the more we will be faithful in use of Him. You know that? The more we are sure of our salvation, the more that we are sure that Jesus really does love us. You know, there's a lot of Christians and even some believers I know that really don't believe, Sandy, that Jesus really loves us. You know, they have all of these weird different views of Jesus, and, you know, they don't see His love. But if they can see that love that, you know, that Jesus has for us, then they will be more faithful, and they will be even more used of Him, you know. Because most Christians, they kind of struggle with believing that Jesus loves them. Point number three we looked at was our love for God should cause our spirit and our soul to magnify Him. Boy, that's a mouthful right there. Our love for God should cause our spirit and our soul. Remember, we're a three, we're a body, soul, and spirit. Our body really can't, magnify the Lord, but our spirit and our soul can. And our spirit, point number four, our spirit grows on with what is fed to it, and it sets the condition for our soul. So whatever we take in through our spirit, not our soul, because our soul is our intellect, it's our feelings, it's our emotions. Believe it or not, our soul is where sin dwells. The Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit, right? Amen? You know, So our spirit grows on whatever it feeds. So if we feed our spirit the Lord, then our spirit will grow, and that will set the condition for our soul. If our spirit is sure, then our soul will follow suit. So if we go ahead and we build our spirit up with the things of God, then our soul will follow suit in that. Point number five. Remember, our soul is not saved. And it is our soul that can control our day-to-day living if not moving correctly with God. So if we do not allow God to work into our spirit, then our soul will lead us astray in our day-to-day living. So it's very, very important to remember that we must allow God to work in our spirit so that, we can move correctly in Him. Point number six, whatever is magnified in our spirit, in our soul, that's what we will speak of. Wow. Whatever is magnified in our soul, in our spirit, that's what we will speak of. You know, you walk up to somebody who you know is a Christian, and you could tell where they kind of are in godliness. And you walk up and you're, how you doing? Well, can you believe this? And can you believe that? And you have people that, you know, they talk about work, talk about sport, they talk about making money, past hurts, people who frustrate them, fears, condemnation, and all of that good stuff. Well, why are they talking about that? Because that is what's being magnified in their spirit. That is what is being magnified in their spirit. And so if that is magnified in their spirit, then guess what? That's what their soul will be like. And that's where they will be in their soul. So it's very, very important to feed that spirit with the things of God, because the soul then will follow suit. So we need to go ahead and magnify our spirit with the Lord. And number seven, we must allow God to work in our lives so that He can deal a death blow to our soul, to our fleshly desires, thus allow our spirit to take its godly place. Well, that's a mouthful, but that's true. We must allow God to work in our lives so that He can deal, you know, our flesh, our soul, that death blow, so the spirit will be able to take his rightful place. And the last point is, there are three areas we must give God dominion in us. There are three areas we must give God dominion in us, and that is our thoughts, our heart, and our soul. That is three areas we must give God dominion in, and that is our thought life. Lord, have mercy. Our thought life will, if you do not pull your thought life into check, if you do not, you know, get a hold of your thought life as a Christian, your thoughts will have you dead, buried in the grave. Your thoughts will destroy you. And you must get your thought life in control, and our heart, we must get our heart, our feelings, and our emotions, and all that stuff in check. And, of course, we must get our soul. And that is our choice. That is our choice. Amen. I know that was kind of fast, like a fire hose, but that was, if you want to hear the teaching from 2 weeks ago, or, I'm sorry, 2 months ago, it is out on our website, and I just wanted to go ahead and kind of give that as a little intro to get us moving into what the Lord has for us today. So, Biblical Elements for Daily Living, number 6, amen? And it's the same verse that we used 2 months ago, and that's 1 John 4:19. And it's right there in your notes, and it's, we love Him because He first loved us. Wow, I like that. The only thing I noticed in this one verse, I think this verse right here has the most pronouns in any verse that I've ever read in the Bible, Namar. It's got 4 of the 8 words in this. There's 4 pronouns, we, Him, He, and us. Yeah, I don't know the significance of that, but the Lord just kind of, you know, brought that to my attention. But there's 4 of those 8 words are pronouns. Amen. So we in this verse is us, every believer. Every believer. We love Him. Every believer love Him. Every believer is to love Him. I cannot explain to you why you love Him and why someone else doesn't. But I do know that you will love Him if you are His child. Amen? You know why most people don't love Jesus? Because they're not His child. You are of your father, the devil, right? Amen. Most Christians and some believers I know, believe it or not, do not love Jesus. Now they love the thought of Jesus, and they love the peace and the joy, and they even love all of the working for Jesus. You know, you can get a job in the kingdom of God, you can do all of this stuff. And they like all of that stuff, but they don't love Him for His sake. You know, I was talking to some friends of mine, and we were talking about heaven. This was a couple of days ago, and I made the statement, Sandy, I'm not too interested about going to heaven. And they looked at me and they said, what? You don't want to go to heaven? And I said, no, I didn't say I didn't want to go to heaven. I said, I'm not too interested about that. That's not my focus. Heaven's not my focus. Now, I'm going to go to heaven. Don't worry about that. And I hope I see you there, as I told them. But, you know, I'm not into heaven. I'm into Him. It's not about I have to go to heaven. Because if heaven is my focus, I may not make it. I may not make it. But if I'm in Him, if I'm into Him, I don't have to worry. I'm going to go to heaven. So our focus is not about going to heaven. Our focus is about Him and being in love with Him. Because if we're in love with Him, wow, then we'll be His child. And we'll have everything that we need. Yeah. The more we see ourselves as a child of God and loved by Him, the more we will love Him. Wow, let me say that again. The more we see ourselves as a child of God and we are loved by Him, the more we will love Him. I'm not saying that He will not at times doubt our love for Him and maybe His love for us, but one thing is sure, our doubt does not change His love for us. And why? Because He first loved us. Wow. God loved us first. He loves us all the same. He loves us all the same. But I can't say that is true. We all don't love Him the same. You know? It's not about His gifts and about His things. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. You know, some have grown to love Him more intensely and maybe than I. But this is His desire toward us, that we grow to love Him more and more. Not the gifts or the presence that He gives us, but His presence. His presence. Have you ever felt the presence of God? That is one thing that is missing in most churches that I go to. Amen. Most churches, I'm talking Pentecostal churches, I'm talking about Foursquare churches, I'm talking about Church of God, Assemblies of God. I will go to a church and I will sit there and I will not feel the presence of God. And if the presence of God is not there, God is not there. And it's all about a routine and it's all about religion and so forth and so on. The presence of God needs to be involved in every house of worship. I guarantee that will change the lives of countless of people if they can feel the presence of God. But most churches don't even, try to even talk about that. Amen? Loving God because He first loved us is sufficient evidence of grace in our souls. If you are loving Him, it is because you are love of Him. Again, you know, many Christians and some believers I know, they just don't love Him. They just don't believe that He loves them, you know? But that is our task. That is one of our tasks, is to tell this world of people, these Christians also, that don't love Him, that Jesus loves them. And we need to tell them that constantly, that Jesus loves them and He died for them. Amen? If you are loving God, it is because you are loved of God. Let me say that again. If you are loving God, it is because you are loved of God. True love could not come into our heart in any other conceivable way. How does the heart that the Bible calls desperately wicked begin to love God? Well, that's pretty easy. It comes to the end of itself. The heart that is desperately wicked, it must come to the end of itself. And it must allow God's dealing and judgments in his life to produce the love of God. when a man or a woman comes to the end of themselves, they see that they can't do it. They don't have the strength. They don't have the ability. When they come to that place that I can't do it, then they open up to the Lord. They open up to the Lord, and then they say, okay, Lord, deal in my life. Judge in my life. Clean my heart. Do all of those things. As David said in Psalms 51, look at me and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. When that happens, then God is able to go ahead and begin to produce a love for God in him. Amen? Wow. If your desire has been aroused to love God, meditate on this great love. Wow. Meditate on this great love. And then trust yourself to that love. Wow. Meditate on that love and trust yourself to that love. Doing this, we, by faith, then trust our soul to this great love. So if our heart has been aroused, if we have this desire to love God, then meditate on that. You know what that, word meditate means in Psalm 50? Psalms, I think, 34, it says, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, thy strength and thy redeemer. You know what that word meditate means? It means heart picture. It actually means heart picture. And so that's what Abel was saying. You know, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. You know, it's not like, I'm going to meditate. But we are to think about the Lord. We are to think about His love. We are to think about His goodness and His faith and all of that stuff. We are to meditate on that. And then until, believe it or not, God can go ahead and write or draw a picture in our heart. Because if you can see it, it's going to happen. Did you get that? If you can see something, it's going to happen. And so that's what God wants to do. He wants to go ahead and be able to draw on our heart. You know, and that happens when we meditate on that. Amen. Doing this by faith, then trust our soul to His love. Oftentimes we do not really trust God with our life. We may sing songs and confess with our mouth our trust in God, but when the real test comes, the trust in God is far away from our lips and our heart. Can I get an amen there?
Amen.
Amen. We are shallow and boastful. We sing songs to build up a shallow confidence and trust in God, trying to work up faith or trust. A lot of churches I go to, Lord have mercy, they sing the same song over and over and over and over, trying to, you know, build up, you know, either the Spirit of God is moving or the Spirit of God is not moving. And I don't care how many times you play the piano and the guitar and get all of that stuff going on, either the Spirit of God is moving or it's not moving. And oftentimes we sing songs and stuff trying to work up our faith and try to build up this, you know, this shallow confidence of trust. But that will not do. That will not do. What it will take is God's dealing and judgments in our life and going through some very difficult things in our life and having a real experience with the Lord. Then I will promise you, you won't have to worry about singing to, you know, try to go ahead and get your faith moving or whatever, because you will be built on the solid Word of God, and it will just be natural. Amen. It will just be natural. Amen. But that's okay. Faith and trust in God is a learning process He takes us through. Wow. Faith and trust in God is a learning process that He takes us through. It is His vast love which sets before us God's way of salvation. We realize that God requires of us. He requires that we be nothing, but instead trust Him to be everything. Wow. Now that is something really to think about. He requires that we be nothing. You know that? I don't have to do anything. I don't have to perform, and I don't have to do all of this stuff. All I have to do is love Him and believe in Him and allow Him to work in my life, then you know what? I will do the things that He wants me to do. But that's one thing that's always amazed me about beholding His glory. Is I don't ask for money. I don't sell this and I don't sell that. I have some books and stuff. I always give it away. I have never taken money for any single trip to study that I've ever went on. Never, ever ask for money. But any time that I go, like the trip to South Africa and Zimbabwe, it's already paid for. The airplane ticket's already paid for. The money has already been given to me. And I didn't ask anybody, oh, brother, come on now, I didn't twist any arms. I don't have to do any of that stuff because I am doing what God wants me to do. I love Him. I'm moving in His faith. And so it's His responsibility to take care of me. And I like that. When we went to Nepal, it was the same thing. I know that you and Linda, from our end, the money was just given, But anyway, amen. God expects us not to do something for Him. Now, please get this in your spirit, but become something in Him. This is what God is looking for us. He's looking for us not to do something for Him, but to become something in Him. The church wants to build something and go here and do this and go all that. Well, that's not what God is after. God wants us to become something in Him. God's desire is for us to become like His Son, Jesus Christ. God desires that we be conformed into the character and the nature and the image of His Son. And I will promise you that is a full-time job if we desire for that to happen. And I will promise you that God will take you beyond yourself. He will take you to some places that you don't want to go. But those are the making places that God has for our life. These are the places that God can be able to work His character and His nature in us. As He goes ahead and He works out things in our life that are not of Him. And that is, if you look at the Bible, that's where, even Jesus Himself, you think He wanted to go to the Garden of Gethsemane? No, I don't think so. You think He wanted to go to the cross? No, I don't think so. But He knew. He knew that He had to go to the cross. He knew what His job was, amen? And it took some things in His life, to get Him there, amen? We begin to see that the plan of salvation is all about love. The plan of salvation is all about love. He loved us first, and we respond to His great love. If we forget, then our soul, they are cast down, and they need to be restored to the truth of His great love for us. No matter who we are in Christ, there are times when our souls are cast down. That word cast down is despondent, it's heavy, it's downcast. Now, I'm gonna get kind of deeper a little bit. So please open up your spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Remember what David said when his soul was cast down. He spoke to it. When David was cast down, he spoke to it. Psalms 42:5. Why art thou cast down, O soul? And why art thou disquieted? That word disquieted is not the word that you think it is. You would think disquieted means shh, quiet. From the Hebrew, that Strong's 1993, and it means uproar. It means rage. It means war. Wow. So David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou in an uproar, in rage, in a war in me? Has anybody ever been there? Wow. In me. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Wow. So when we get despondent, so when we get heavy and downcast, and when our spirit is in an uproar and rage and war,
we need to talk to our spirit.
Did David talk to his spirit?
Amen?
This is the balm, this is the cure for depression, for sadness, for gloom, for, you know, when I'm just having a bad day, you know, this is the cure, is to talk to our spirit. I shall yet praise. It didn't say sing, because singing and praising is two different things. Singing is singing, and praising is speaking. And praising, if you look at the Bible, it's always a concise thought. It's always speaking, praising. The Lord is wonderful. His mercy is forever. That is praising the Lord. Amen? So that's what we need to do when we get depressed and we get sad and we get gloomy and, you know, things. We need to speak to our soul and tell you will not be, you know, you will not be cast down. Amen? You will not be in an uproar. You will not be in a war. Amen? Some parting thoughts. God loves us. It's the birthplace of our love for Him. Let me say that again. God's love for us is the birthplace of our love for Him. Love comes by contemplation. It flows and grows out of the sense of the love of Christ. Feed on His love like you would a sweet honeycomb. Ooh, wow. The honey of His love will make our whole nature become sweet as His. The honey of His love will make our whole nature become sweet as His. Wow. God knows our heart. He knows our frame. He knows our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. And He knows how much we really love Him. Oh, we say we love Him. Oh, I love Him. Oh, yeah, I love you. You know, it's okay. God knows how much we really love Him. But feed. Ponder. Magnify. We are changed into His same image as we feed on His nature, as we feed on His character, as we feed on Him, and as we ponder Him, and as we magnify Him, and as we do all of those things, we will be changed into that same image. And we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory and be changed into the image of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And love is the tool that engraves us into this image. It is our choice. Do we choose to love Him in spite of our woes and our tough lives and things that are going on around us that we don't understand? Or maybe our life is easy. It all does not matter what has happened in the past. We need to just love Him today because He loves us first. We need to love Him today. You know, I was talking to my one son in Alabama, and he made a statement which is so true. You know, there is no past, Sandy. There is no past. I mean, really think about it for a second. There is no past. And if you really think about it, there's no future. That's what the Bible says. There's no past and there's no future. The only thing we have, really, is today. Now, there were things in our past life that caused some things in our life. But we can't allow those things in our past life to affect the only thing that we really have, and that is today. Because if we allow things that have affected us in the past to affect our today, then our future will not be what the Lord wants it to be. All we have, that's what Jesus said. You know, I mean, today is the day of salvation. I mean, all throughout the Word of God, the focus in our life is always on today. So I would encourage us today, love Him, feed upon Him, feed upon Him. Magnify, ponder, think about Him.
Wow.
Contemplate upon Him. Let God go ahead and just draw a picture of Him in our heart. You know, when I was called into the ministry, I felt the Lord was going to have me to go overseas and stuff like that, and pray for the sick and minister. And this was back in early 90s. And sure enough, that has happened through the years. I'm in 87 countries of the world. And so I go to Zimbabwe and South Africa, there would be 88 and 89. But I said, well, you know what, I need to go ahead and I need to write down and look in the Bible and see how Jesus and the disciples pray for people. If I'm going to be doing that, then I need to kind of do it like, you know, like they do it. So I did a lot of Bible research, found out how Jesus did it, the disciples, you know. And I would study this. And then you know what would happen, Sandy, at night? I would have dreams. I would actually have dreams of what I was contemplating on, what I was studying. I would have dreams of what I was taking into my spirit. I would have dreams. And after a while, the more I would go ahead and study, I would have dreams in color. You ever have dreams in color? If you have dreams in color, man, that's really registering, right? And I would have dreams in color. And I would have dreams of me praying for people in India, and praying for people in Africa, and praying for people. And what were those dreams? They were in my heart. I studied that stuff so much that it was now in my heart. Because if you can't see it, if you can't see whatever God wants you to do, if you can't see whatever God told you to do, if you can't see that, then it's never ever going to happen. And it's only going to get from here to here when you feed on that. And you contemplate on that. And you meditate on that. Because if you can see whatever God wants you to do, whatever He's called you to do, if you can see that, then all things are possible. Because then it's not of you, it's going to be of the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Your love and for Your many mercies, Father. Lord, thank You for Your word tonight, Father, Lord God. We thank You, Father, Lord. Thank You for loving me. I don't know about anybody else, Father, Lord God. But I thank You for loving me, for dying for me. And I know I can speak for my friends here, Father, Lord God. Thank You for dying for them and for loving them, Father. And Lord, I know that they love You also, Father. And I thank You and I praise You, Father, Lord. Thank You for Your Spirit, Father, Lord God. Thank You, Father, Lord God. We love You, Father, Lord, and we thank You, Father, Lord. Help us, Father, Lord. We just love You and we thank You, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.